This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking.
Guys, thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your NXT ECW 2300 Arena post show for November 6th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York. As always, coming to you live from the beautiful OTS venue. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Wednesday evenings, wherever you may be. Little bit of a different situation tonight. I don't like when these shows go head-to-head because it honestly fucks up my entire week. It fucks up my flow. Usually I have Tuesday with Jason on Tuesday Night Titans. Wednesday we do AEW Dynamite. Jesse and I do Dynamite and the post-show every single week. There was no Tuesday Night Titans this week because we postponed it just for the week. Because of last night's election coverage, and I think it was the smart thing to do because I don't think anybody was doing anything else but watching who was going to win the presidential election here in the United States. So we'll be back next week. But at the same time, NXT did not go live last night. They also preempted their show until tonight, and they held the show tonight at the ECW Arena in Philadelphia, as they went head-to-head with AEW Dynamite. So that's the reason why there was a little bit of a scheduling change last night as far as my content, where's NXT, why are they going head-to-head with AEW on their night. Hopefully things get back to normal next week. So I decided, because I love ECW, I used to love ECW. I used to trade tapes back in the day. I used to buy illegal VHS tapes back in high school because I needed my fix of the hardcore of ECW. So it definitely holds a special place in my heart. And when I heard that they were going back to the 2300 Arena, now the 2300 Arena, formerly known as the ECW Arena, I said, I got to watch this. I got to see what's going on. And I had a decent time tonight. I mean, it wasn't anything earth-shattering. It wasn't like the greatest show ever. I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I just physically can't get into the NXT product nowadays the way that some of you guys are into the NXT product. At some point during the show, I actually regretted covering NXT. I'm like, maybe I should just stick to my guns and cover Dynamite. I think that's where a lot of the interest comes into play. But if you guys are looking for the AEW Dynamite post show, do not worry. I will be live tomorrow afternoon. I have yet to, you know, give you a time on that. So I am planning on going live anywhere between 3 and 4 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow. So there will be an AEW Dynamite review. I don't know if I'm doing it solo. I don't know if Jesse's going to be with me or not. I don't know. So I have to reach out to him and see what he wants to do. If he's watching this tonight, let me know, brother, if you want to be a part of the show tomorrow. And we do our usual thing just on Thursday. But ECW tonight, man, or NXT in the ECW arena, I thought it was a fun show. I thought it was a fun show. There were things that I didn't like. There were things that I certainly did enjoy. But man, oh man, the one thing that we're seeing a lot of, and we've been seeing a lot of, this is not some new revelation. This is nothing out of the ordinary for WWE, especially on NXT. But their women's division is basically carrying this show. Big time. Their women's division is carrying this show, and it is unbelievable the difference between the women's roster and the men's roster. You look at that 10-woman tag team match in the main event tonight, and you see where their bread and butter is. You see where their money is. And the men's side, it is as weak as I think we have ever seen it on NXT, where you got Trick Williams, who is over as fuck as the NXT world champion, and you don't have any credible opponents lined up for him. And I don't want to sound like I'm disrespecting him at all, but I don't think there is worldwide fanfare, worldwide interest in Ridge Holland pinning Trick Williams tonight and becoming ultimately the number one contender for the NXT World Championship. That is not what's going to generate interest. And for the majority of 2024, from what I've watched, from my point of view, the main event scene on NXT with the NXT World Championship, this may be the worst stretch that the brand has ever seen since day one. And Carmelo, let me tell you something, man, about Carmelo and Braun. When Carmelo and Braun were down there, you saw the future. They built that show around both of those guys. Like, you knew that it was eventually going to come down to those two. Like, those two guys were the fucking torchbearers for NXT. And I don't think they get enough credit, especially in the 2.0 era. They don't get enough credit for carrying that main event scene on NXT because they produce some fucking bangers, whether they were together or whether they did it individually. So they got to get a lot more credit than I think people are really, you know, letting on with this new version of NXT. This new version of NXT, Trick Williams-led NXT, is nowhere where it's got to be as far as the main event scene. The men's top spots are as weak as they have ever been. And I don't know how WWE is going to replenish it. Are they going to replenish it by signing independent talent? Are they going to replenish it by fast-tracking somebody from the Performance Center onto television on Tuesday nights? Are they going to replenish via the WWE ID program? I don't know. But all I can tell you is the women right now are leading the charge. Absolutely. Dragunov is another one. Yes, Dragunov was another one. The main event scene when those three guys were down there, I don't think they get enough credit. Nobody's really talking about what they did compared to what we're seeing now. Right now, it's night and day from what we're seeing. So we need to fix that immediately because Trick Williams is not really looking the part with who he's in the ring with. Ethan Page, not cutting it. Ridge Holland, not cutting it. This in-between shit, getting Bubba Ray out there, it's all right for one night, but is anybody excited about a potential Ridge Holland and Trick Williams NXT World Championship match? Now, I know we're probably waiting on Obafemi. I know we're probably waiting for him to get to Stand and Deliver and take that belt off of Trick Williams. But at that point, hopefully it's a lot better. But even when you look at that and look 6 months into the future, 7 months into the future, when we get to April and when we get to Stand and Deliver, what's going to be when Obafemi is the world champion? You're probably looking at the same thing. I can only hope that the men's side is certainly replenished more so in April, May, June next year than it is right now going into November, December, and on into WrestleMania season. Because right now, I ain't feeling it. Or maybe there's a supplemental draft. Who knows what WWE's got planned? There's a bunch of rumors floating around out there. A supplemental draft is certainly needed. I think so. I don't know when we'll do the draft next year. They did it last year around the middle of the year, right after WrestleMania, late April, early May. WrestleMania this year is a little bit later in the calendar month in April. It's happening on Easter Sunday. Do we get a draft after WrestleMania sometime around May, June time, 2025? But I think a supplemental draft could absolutely come into play just to give WWE some steady feet for the next 7-8 months or so. And at that point, you get some talent on Raw that desperately need to get off the brand and move to SmackDown. You get some SmackDown guys and women desperately off that show onto Monday Night Raw who could use a new lease on life. And you take some of those people that you're not using on the main roster right now and you send them back down to NXT to potentially replenish that brand as well.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Robinhood Gold provides the privileges of a high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. The new gold standard is here. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Or maybe move some NXT women up, some NXT men up, and replenish the main roster on SmackDown if that is the case. Because the rumor is Netflix wants 3 hours, Netflix wants demands. They understand that WWE's got two separate brands. They want Roman, they want Cody, they want Punk. SmackDown rumored to be going 3 hours in January. They don't have the roster. They don't have the depth to go 3 hours. How do we fix that? A supplemental draft may be beneficial not only for SmackDown, but NXT as well, because the top of the men's roster is looking really, really, really weak right now. The women are carrying the load. Absolutely no doubt about it. So much so that there is sentiment in the locker room that Roxanne Perez is naming herself and three other women as the four horsewomen of the modern day WWE. So she appeared on the Click podcast and she discussed her belief that she, Cora Jade, Stephanie Vaquer, and Julia are the new version of the NXT four horsewomen. She stated, I actually saw a post about this the other day, and I agree with it very much. It would be me, Cora Jade, Stephanie Vaquer, and Julia. I feel like we're a little alike in different ways. In the same way, being that we have always wanted to be part of WWE since we were young. We put in those years, those 1,000 hours to become great, and now we're able to be a part of the greatest women's division in the world. I think that has a lot to do with us four women. Now, I wouldn't go that far. It's too early to be calling Cora Jade, Stephanie Vaquer, and Julia 3/4 of the four horsewomen. If Roxanne Perez wants to claim that she is a horsewoman of the modern day, I have no complaints there. But by the time we really get the ball rolling on that, I think Roxanne Perez will already be on the main roster. I think Cora Jade will be on the main roster. In fact, I think Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade will be called up at the same time. There's no reason to split them up. There's no reason to leave one on NXT while the other gets called to the main roster. They did that with the original four horsewomen as Bayley got left behind while the other three made their ascent to the main roster. You don't want to do that. Roxanne and Cora should absolutely get called up to the main roster together. Then that would leave Julia, Stephanie Vaquer, and Zarya. I mean, you want to talk about horsewomen. Those three right there. They will be on NXT for the foreseeable future, at least the next year. Do you want to go out there and claim that they are the new horsewomen of NXT? You could even throw Kalani Jordan in there if you want to. Not a big fan of her right now. Don't know where Jordan Grace is going to end up. She could go to NXT. She could go right to the main roster, which I think is probably the best thing for her. She doesn't need NXT. Any one of those women could fit that fourth spot, and those could be the four horsewomen. But right now, Roxanne Perez, I would say yes, absolutely. So that was kind of interesting. That was in the discussion this week on social media. I certainly think that they are getting ready to get called up next year. Roxanne Perez is absolutely, no doubt about it, getting called up to the main roster. So yeah, NXT's got some problems. And we're going to talk about them tonight. It was a big 10-woman tag team match. I thought that what they did tonight was fun. Getting everybody involved. A little bit of something from everybody. We could be potentially looking at the women's War Games match. If WWE wants to do a War Games match, I think that would be fun to see where that goes. Surprised that announcement wasn't made tonight with all 10 of those women at the Survivor Series. Don't know what they're going to do with the women's War Games match. We got about 3 weeks to go before Survivor Series and not one single clue about a women's War Games match. Maybe they don't do one this year. Maybe they don't give us one at all, like I had hoped they would. Because if you don't need to do it, then don't do it. Don't force your way into one if the intensity, if the emotion is not there. So if they want to do those 10 women inside War Games, I think that would work out. I think that would be fun. We had Trick Williams' team with Bubba Ray Dudley against Rich Holland and Ethan Page. Javon Evans wrestled Wes Lee. We got a cameo from RVD. We had cameos from Devon Dudley, Rhino, Dawn Marie, Francine, No Sandman, No Sabu. Those are the ECW legends that I looked up to, that I loved watching. No Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer's on Busted Open Radio. I guess Tommy Dreamer could have made an appearance tonight. He's with Impact, isn't he? TNA? Don't know why we didn't see Tommy Dreamer. They didn't really lean too much into the ECW legend realm. We got a couple. But outside Bubba, outside Devon, outside RVD, it really wasn't much to be excited about as far as the ECW legend appearances on this show. But I will say the 2300 Arena, the ECW Arena, the aesthetics of it for a show still look just as good in 2024 as they did back in the late 90s. Fucking great, man. I thought the crowd tonight was energetic. I thought the presentation of the show, the vibe of the show, the camera angles that they did tonight, nothing earth-shattering, like I said. WWE has this thing about NXT where sometimes we get this little elevated camera shot. I thought it looked great. The entranceway, the ramp, the ambiance, everything was very ECW-like. We even got the original ECW theme in this like static presentation, this 90s filter with some of the current NXT stars doing what they do on television, all spliced up in a video package to look really nice. And we got the old ECW theme music playing in the background, man. I thought that was fucking great. I even posted it on my social media yesterday if you guys want to go check that out. I thought that was fantastic. So the presentation of the show was great. I loved everything about the presentation. Outside that, it was just your typical NXT. You know? Your typical NXT. Yeah, Shane Douglas. Those are the guys that I wanted to see, man. Shane Douglas, Sabu, Sandman, Tommy Dreamer. But all in all, I thought it was a fun show. I thought it was a nice homage to ECW. It was a gimmick show. It was a theme show. It didn't really play into the grand scheme of things. It set up a couple of things going into Deadline, which is their next PLE on December 7th from Minneapolis. That was announced tonight. There really wasn't anything earth-shattering about tonight's show. It was just, hey, look at our current NXT product. We're going to try our best to look like we're adult in the ECW arena. I thought it was a fun 2 hours. But I will tell you what, man. I was flipping back and forth. And like I did say, there will be an AEW post show tomorrow. So hopefully you guys show up for that. But I was flipping back and forth during the commercials because we don't get picture-in-picture commercials on CW. I flipped back several times tonight, back and forth. The vibe and the energy between both shows. And no, this is just not an ECW Philadelphia thing. NXT usually is a very vibrant show. It's usually a very loud show. No matter how many people are in attendance, I think there were maybe anywhere between 1,300 to 1,500 people in attendance tonight at the ECW Arena, given the stage setup. AEW had roughly 2,700 people in attendance tonight. You flip back and forth between both shows, the energy between both shows is fucking ridiculously different. Night and day difference. Shockingly, shockingly bad for AEW. And if you need to look any further than what the problem is with AEW, just do what I did tonight and flip back and forth between both shows, man. The energy, the effort, the care in AEW is significantly taking a hit, and nobody seems to want to fix the problem. And that was not the case for AEW in year one, in year two, in year three. In year four and in year five, the energy is just not there. It is absolutely embarrassing to watch. Embarrassing. And like I said, it has nothing to do with it being an ECW arena. It has nothing to do with them being in Philadelphia. AEW used to have some of the most raucous, energetic, lively, I wish I was there to feel the energy type of crowd. In fact, I've been to several AEW shows, and the energy at some of those shows that I've been to were fucking absolutely chilling, man. I got chills just chanting along and feeling the energy of all their chants and just everybody in the arena feeling so good about the product. Just not there. I was watching Malakai and Adam Cole tonight. The lifeless crowd that was so fucking embarrassing. Absolutely sad, sad state of affairs that AEW is in right now. And that was just an observation from somebody who watches both of these shows weekly. I don't watch NXT every Tuesday live like everybody else because I got my own things going on. But I do watch AEW every week. Where's the energy? They were filling arenas. They were doing what they had to do in year one, year two, year three, man. Where did all that energy go? Is this a different audience that all those people that used to watch the show just don't watch the show anymore? It's a dead crowd. This is why I usually use the term depressing while watching NXT. There's no life to the show. If the crowd in attendance has no life and you're not giving back to the show, there's different stages to this, man. You're watching at home. You're watching the people there react to what's going on in the ring. If the people in the arena aren't reacting to anything on the show the way that they are supposed to, how do you think that makes the viewer watching at home feel? The viewer at home feels the live energy from the fans in attendance there while sitting at home watching it themselves. The energy is off. And just from a constant flip-flop back and forth during commercials, the energy on both of these shows was fucking absolutely shockingly bad for AEW. And NXT is not even a good weekly show. I'm not even defending NXT in a way where they're a great weekly watch. They're not. Neither is AEW. But if you ain't matching what NXT is doing energy-wise, how could you consider yourself the second best promotion in the United States? You're not. I would go as far as to say fucking TNA is probably the second best promotion in North America. They're driving people to the arenas. They got people coming to watch what they do. Sure, the WWE partnership is helping them in that way. But the energy from these shows, man, is fucking lifeless. It's so bad. Anyway, we're going to get into this NXT show tonight. Just again, a word of warning. I will be reviewing AEW tomorrow afternoon, so make sure you guys join me tomorrow afternoon. The stream should be set up sometime this evening or early tomorrow morning, and you guys will get the notifications, hopefully, in your emails and in your sub boxes. But thank you guys very much for joining me here on Off the Script. We are going to have a good time tonight. Appreciate you guys joining me on this NXT post. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Hit that thumbs up. Tonight's goal is 750 likes. If we could get anywhere close to 750 likes, I would really appreciate it. Super chats are open. Get them on in. We will hang out at the end of the show. If you guys got recommitments to the VIP club channel memberships, get them on in. If you guys want to become a channel member, do so. It's a great way to help us out. We got some great looking emotes. So make sure you guys get them on in as well. That join button is all you got to do. Go check out all the other content on the channel. There's plenty of content for you guys to get caught up on. We did an extra yesterday, potentially talking about the Netflix demands. They want Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes. Now, I don't think they're going to land all three. But what I did talk about is WWE potentially being a little bit more lenient with the draft and the brand split rules. So go check all that out. We also got an update on Kenny Omega's return to AEW and where the storyline with the Elite is going as they take a hiatus from AEW television. Go check all that out. It's all on the homepage right now. And tonight's show is sponsored by Blue Chew. BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. Make sure you guys use that code JD to get your free sample of Blue Chew, courtesy of the podcast, BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. All you have to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Let's start at the top here, man. NXT ECW Arena. We got a VHS quality video of the current crop of stars in NXT with old clips of ECW action over the ECW original theme music. That was great. Then they showed Bubba Ray and Trick Williams eating outside Geno's earlier in the day. We got shots of all 10 women in the 10-woman tag team match later. They were hanging around the city. We got a couple of shots of those ladies. And I got to be honest with you, man. I haven't had Geno's or Pat's. I didn't go to either Geno's or Pat's when I was in Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend. I didn't have a single cheesesteak when I was in Philadelphia. And I was there for... I drove from Atlantic City to Philadelphia for three straight days because I have a place in Atlantic City. I'm only 45 minutes away. I didn't go get a cheesesteak while I was there for the 3 days. Maybe next time. But we opened the show with Lola Vice and Jada Parker. This was a hardcore match with Dawn Marie as the special guest referee. Now, the reason why this match is happening is because these two ladies were forced together because they had one agenda. They wanted to take out Fatal Influence. They did wrestle Fatal Influence, but it was not too long ago where I remember watching Jada Parker and Lola Vice team up together against Fatal Influence, and in the most comical way, they tried to create tension between Lola Vice and Jada Parker, and it came off so outlandish, so ridiculously overbooked, to a point where you were left scratching your head because Jada Parker thought that Lola Vice did this and did that and inadvertently hit her and all this other shit. Meanwhile, Lola Vice didn't intend to hit her or take anything away from her whatsoever. It was all done accidentally. And then they tried to play it off as if these two women have some sort of tension. But they only paired them together because Ava paired them together at the bequest of Kalani Jordan. And They were forced together in a tag team only to then go against each other because they didn't like each other from the get-go. So we had a hardcore match here, and Dawn Marie was introduced. She got a very good reaction from the ECW faithful here tonight. And this match, I would describe in the best way I can as overbooked, but fun. And I say overbooked because WWE, you know, I get it. And this is just from my point of view, from my perspective. WWE is going into the ECW arena, so clearly there needs to be a little bit of plunder. There's got to be chairs, there's got to be ladders, there's got to be tables, kendo sticks, all the nonsense that WWE usually brings out during one of their no DQ or hardcore matches. I get that WWE is in the ECW arena, so there's got to be some semblance of hardcore. But when WWE does hardcore, it is so blatantly choreographed and scripted to a point where it's not even natural. And what I mean by that is within minutes, not even minutes, within like 30 seconds, 60 seconds, Jada Parker was going underneath the ring to put away a table that Lola Vice brought out, and she never used the table. And then all of a sudden we get kendo sticks and trash can lids and trash cans and ladders. I mean, we got so much plunder within the first couple of minutes. It was like, can we build up to it just for a little bit? But then I get to thinking, do we really want to see these two women actually wrestle? And the answer, more than likely, majority will be no. So it's either you get a very subpar wrestling match with two women who are still obviously very green, or you get the plunder and you make the match somewhat watchable. But when WWE does these things, and especially on tonight because they're in the ECW arena, it just felt very forced that they went right to the plunder and right to the hardcore of this match instead of building up to it. You know, a table is great. A ladder is great. A trash can or a trash can lid is great. A ladder is great. But let's not bring in three fucking ladders, and let's not bring in three kendo sticks and steel chairs. Like, can we build up to having a spot and making that spot memorable? Why do we need to go overboard with all the plunder? That was my only negative of the match. It just felt very choreographed, very overly produced, scripted, forced. Now, what these two ladies did, I thought was fairly entertaining. The one thing I like about both of these ladies in this type of environment is they're not afraid to get their hands dirty. Lola showed up looking for a fight. Jada looked up, you know, or looked rather to a fight. And that's exactly what they gave us. They were not afraid to take some big bumps. They were not afraid to go through some ladders. They were not afraid to hit each other with the kendo stick and the steel steps and the ladders and the trash cans. It was physical. So I really appreciate that. And it ended up being a very fun match. So Parker is taking the table that Lola Vice brought out and shoved it underneath the ring. We got metal folding chairs used early and quite often in the match. There was a spinning back fist from Lola into the chair, and that chair was wedged in between the ropes. There were chairs scattered in the ring, and Vice, she tries to get a table from underneath the ring, like I said, but Parker shoved the table back underneath the ring, and the crowd did not appreciate that because they love their "We Want Tables" chant. Double clotheslines out on the floor. We got to double down. We go to a quick commercial break. Come back from the break. Ladders, trash cans, and kendo sticks. Or we used to call them Singapore canes. When the Sandman used to wield the kendo stick, it was a Singapore cane. Lola Vice is put on a ladder bridge on the ropes, and Parker jumps off a standing ladder in the ring with her teardrop senton, which is basically her in a seated position, driving her ass through Lola Vice is Jada Parker. So that looked great. Ladder broke. She went for a cover. She got a two count. Lola Vice fights back. She applies a choke. Parker's able to escape. They took turns hitting each other with the kendo stick. They took some big bumps. Parker is trapped in a chokehold by Lola Vice. Parker is able to pick up a brick. And this is where things got a little ridiculous. All of a sudden, there was a fucking brick. I don't know where it came from. It was just laying in the ring. It might have been in one of the trash cans that they pulled out earlier in the match. There's a brick laying in the ring. Jada Parker hits Lola Vice in the fucking face with it. It disintegrates and shatters across her face. And she goes for a cover. And Lola Vice kicks out. On what planet do you take a brick and you smash it across someone's face and they kick out at a 2.5 near fall? That should have ended the match absolutely. And then you want to know why I sit here and critique pro wrestling, because when I see shit like that, I can't even look at that and say, oh man, that was a cool spot. No, that's fucking ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. It should have ended the spot. So she gets back to her feet. She runs the ropes. She delivers her hip attack finish. And then she finishes off Lola Vice. And that's enough to get the 1-2-3. I don't know why whoever produced this match couldn't just reverse the sequences. Why couldn't we get the hip attack, kick out, and then the brick, and then the brick across the face, and leave everybody with, oh my God, Jada Parker just hit Lola Vice in the face with a fucking brick. Like, I understand you're going for an oh my God spot because it's a hardcore match. But when I watch something like that, man, that looks fucking super goofy. And the gimmicked brick, which basically disintegrated, I don't know what the fuck it was. It looked like freeze-dried something. I don't know what the fuck it was made out of, man. It was just unnaturally smashed across her face and legitimately turned to dust. Like, if you're not going to do a spot like that and make it as realistic as possible, then don't do the spot at all. I don't need to see some fucking gimmicky bullshit that looks super fake. And then I'm supposed to look at the illusion as, oh my God, she got hit with a brick. And then she kicks out of it too. You hit someone in the fucking face with a brick, man, they ain't moving, man. They're going right to the hospital. They're stretched out of the fucking building and they're laying up in the hospital bed for the next several days. Come on now. Jada Parker wins in this goofy fucking finish to what I thought was overall a fun ECW-like WWE hardcore match. She gets the victory over Lola Vice. Rich Holland and Ethan Page are together. They clearly want the NXT World Championship. They both want it. But they're putting aside their differences tonight for the common enemy. Page says there would be no monuments, no statues, and no accolades for their opponents, Bubba Ray Dudley and Trick Williams tonight. And they cut this promo in front of the Rocky statue in Philadelphia. Not a big fan of Rich Holland, not a big fan of Ethan Page, though I will give Rich Holland credit. He looks better in NXT than he did on his entire main roster stint. He looks much better than he did on the main roster. Do I believe in him yet? No. He obviously needs some more work in ring as far as I'm concerned. But as far as his presentation and him being a big dude with attitude, an ass kicker, he does the part well. I just don't really give a shit about Rich Holland or Ethan Page, who I think is the worst NXT champion that they've ever had. Fucking boring is Ethan Page. Kalani Jordan. She was preparing for her spot in the 10-woman tag team match. She was stretching and doing splits a la RVD. RVD is just standing in the corner watching Kalani Jordan do the splits. I don't know what he was looking at, but he wasn't looking up here. I'll tell you that right now. Carmelo Hayes somewhere is looking on, and he's got a fucking problem right now with RVD. He complimented her form. She said she wanted to make an impression tonight, and RVD told her to score the fall on Fallon Henley tonight because she's obviously got to get back her North American championship. Jordan said that was good advice, and she did the RVD thumb pose with him, and she took off. All of a sudden, cameraman goes down, and we hear RVD being brutally attacked, and we saw that it was Wes Lee who was responsible for this attack, absolutely out of nowhere for no reason. He said, "I just made your decision for you, Rob." And then we cut to the ringside area, and Javon Evans was making his way down the aisle, getting ready for this match with Wes Lee. He did not know what had happened to RVD. So before we get to that match with Javon Evans and Wes Lee, Nunzio, he met with Tony D and the family outside for some cheesesteaks. His goon said, "Next week, we got Miss Rizzo getting a match with Nikita Lyons." Nunzio said, "Here in Philadelphia, Tony D'Angelo has to defend the North American title against him tonight." Okay. Just out of nowhere, Nunzio requesting, because it's for the family and he owes Nunzio a deal, I guess. He owes debt to Nunzio. Tony D's got to defend the North American Championship against Little Guido. Great. Javon Evans, he went one-on-one with Wes Lee tonight. And Vic Joseph said he just got word tonight from the back that the referees will be a little more lenient tonight in what they do in the ring as far as calling the action. Okay. There you go. They'll be a little bit more lenient. So basically, they'll be AEW referees. There was an asshole chant that was chanted on CW that was muted. This was not the only thing muted on CW. CW is actually a lot worse than Fox's. We got absolutely no chance bleeding onto television. Holy shit bleeped out. Asshole bleeped out. You fucked up bleeped out. There was even somebody in the third or fourth row throwing up the middle fingers where they had to black the fucking screen out because she saw this on television. Like, if you ain't gonna run the show the way that it needs to from the ECW arena, man, why don't we just make the fucking program TV-14 so we could bypass these stupid censorship bullshit rules? Seriously. So fucking lame, man. It's a pro wrestling show. Half the fucking reason for the excitement and the entertainment is the fucking crowd in attendance chanting whatever they want. Ridiculous. Javon Evans and Wes Lee. I think Wes Lee is fantastic. I think he's great. This match was not great. Now, I've seen enough Javon Evans to realize that he is going to be very popular with this NXT crowd. I don't really see what the big deal is with Javon Evans yet. Are they prepping him to be one of the major players on NXT? Is he going to be a future piece of the brand? Is he going to be a future world champion? Listen, man, you may enjoy what Javon Evans brings to the table. I just don't see any of that right now. I don't want to say at all, but I just don't see it. I don't see it whatsoever. I don't know what it is about him. I don't know if it's his goofy way that he cuts promos. I don't know if it's his in-ring style that we've seen so many times with everybody else on this fucking show or in AEW. He doesn't really bring anything unique to the table. Like, what does he do that is so outstanding, that is so much better than anybody else? I don't really see the big deal about it. Who is he supposed to be taking a spot from? Like, who is he replacing? Like, you got Nathan Frazier down there. Everything that Javon Evans does, I think Nathan Frazier does with much more precision. Javon Evans is very, very green. Very green. He may be athletic. He may be fucking jumping off the top rope, and he may get heights like Montez Ford, and he may fucking dive across the ring, and he may do a huge cutter off the top rope. Springboard this, springboard that, backflip over there, handspring over there. I mean, I got to be honest with you, man. I am completely desensitized to that type of style to a point where we see it so much every fucking week that anything that is done in that form or style, it is not exciting anymore. I mean, this is what the modern day fan finds to be exciting and entertaining. And this is what the modern fan thinks is pro wrestling. This is why I appreciate some of the grounders, the technical fucking guys. This is why I appreciate someone like an MJF who doesn't need to do all that type of shit, who goes out there and fucking makes you feel through pro wrestling. Like, is it being done because it's a crutch? What else does he got? If he doesn't got the athleticism and the fucking depth-defying dives and the fucking flips and the dives and the gymnastics, what does he got? Does he do it because it's the only thing he knows how to do? Does he do it because it's the only thing that's going to get him over? Wes Lee does everything this kid does. Like, what do we need Javon Evans for? Maybe I'm being a little bit too hard on him, but this match did not do anything for me whatsoever. Anything. I thought it was sloppy. I thought it was messy. The RVD cameo at the end just felt kind of weird. He didn't really get involved. He didn't lift a finger to do anything. He ducked a steel chair shot. And Wes Lee took himself out. It was all very weird. So we pick up the action here. Match started off. We go to a quick commercial break. Lee dropped Evans with a brain buster on the ring steps on the outside. So we come back from the break. We got big spots. There's a lot of flips. There's a lot of dives. Evans does his double springboard into a cutter, but Lee rolls out of the ring before Evans can make a cover. He hits it, and then Wes Lee, wisely, like the veteran, rolls out of the ring on the opposite side so that Javon Evans doesn't make a cover. Evans then sails through the ropes with a tope suicida that sends him crashing onto the announce desk, and he did not get any of Wes Lee whatsoever. And the announce desk on the outside was very close to the ring on the outside in the ECW arena. So Lee gets a chair. He goes to hit Javon Evans. The referee takes the chair away. I guess he wasn't too lenient. I guess there were still rules to abide by here. Moments later, Lee goes and gets the chair again, and that brings out RVD, who made a very quick recovery from the beatdown from Wes Lee just 10 minutes before this match started. So Lee confronts RVD. He has the chair. He swings the chair. RVD ducks the chair shot. Evans then dives over the ropes onto Wes Lee to take him out. RVD is now on the outside, cheerleading Javon Evans. So it rolls back into the ring. Lee takes a flying cutter from Evans, which looked like it was just a great looking spot. It was probably the best spot of the entire match. RVD is cheering Evans on. He goes for the RVD five-star frog splash. And let me tell you something, man. This was anything but five stars. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. But he goes up to the top rope. Wes Lee was in position for the frog splash normally. But then he starts to roll away. He rolls away from Javon Evans. And Javon Evans, instead of going and getting off the top rope to run to the opposite side to do it normally, he jumps from where he is. And Wes Lee is legitimately on the opposite side of the ring, basically underneath the fucking turnbuckle on the opposite side. And this kid jumps off the top rope and delivers one of the sloppiest frog splashes that you'll see all year. He hits knees first. He almost makes the distance, but comes up short. It looked like comedy hour. Like, why even attempt the move? You already botched, because they were very ambitious in doing so, botched an RKO spot in St. Louis. And then you want to turn right back around and botch a five-star frog splash because RVD's on the outside and you want to make RVD proud. Meanwhile, it was anything but a fucking five-star. I'd give it a one-star. Fucking ridiculous. Javon Evans beats Wesley, and he gets the pinfall with the one-star frog splash. RVD gets in the ring. He poses with Javon Evans. He's raising his hand to the ECW fans, and that was basically it. Okay. Could have been a lot better, man. Wesley is much better than what we got tonight. So we got Robert Stone, Stevie Turner, and they were following Ava, who is the general manager. Listen, I've watched enough NXT to tell you guys that Ava is so fucking cringy as the NXT GM. Her facial reactions are so unnaturally bad. It's not even a joke. It's not even funny. She's just bad in the role. She's got no presence on the microphone. She's got no charisma at all. I wonder what that means for her wrestling ability. If she didn't make it there and they gave her the GM role and she sucks at the GM role, she's out there and she's walking with her entourage. Eddie Thorpe tried to get a word with Ava and said she would be available later. He tried again and she told him, right now, but I promise I'll talk to you. I don't know what they're going for here. What he wants to talk to her about, I don't know. Who cares? Ava makes her way out to the ring. She put over the night's action. She said, it was an honor to hold a show in the ECW arena in this venue. And she said the passion for the brand was undeniable. She kissed some Philadelphia ass, corporate ass out there. I thought she was going to announce a women's war games. She did not. She announced that Deadline is in Minneapolis and the crowd booed the city of Minneapolis. Good. Philadelphia doesn't like anything. Its people don't like anything. I can't even fathom being a Philadelphia Phillies fan when they lost. How despicable and how cringy that fan base was when they lost this year. One of the worst fan bases in all of sports is the Phillies fan base. So Stone took the microphone and says, listen, they shouldn't lie. New York and Boston fans are much bigger and better than Philadelphia. He said, just like the Eagles and the Phillies, their time has passed. So he's staring in one direction. The lights go out. Lights come back on. And we have Rhino standing opposite side in the ring. And Robert Stone hasn't turned around yet. Both ladies say, I think it would do you best to turn around. Rhino is there setting up. And he delivers a gore to Robert Stone. To a huge reaction. He got gored into oblivion. And the big announcement here was that Deadline is in Minneapolis. None of these people gave a shit about Deadline being in Minneapolis. I think a women's war games match would have went over a lot better if they wanted to announce that. So we got the baby faces on the women's side. We got Stephanie Vaccaro, Julia, Jordynne Grace, Kalani Jordan, and Zarya. They were chatting together ahead of their match later in the main event. All of a sudden, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, they walk in and they bragged about their performance at Crown Jewel. Don't know what they're bragging about. They lost. I don't think they've won a main roster match yet. I don't know what there is to be bragging about. They said they were still the dream team around here, no matter what happens in the 5-on-5. Now, there is news on WWE calling up Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend. Now, this is coming from Wrestling Observer Live, so make sure you guys take this with a grain of salt, but you could see where they're going if you guys watch the show. We've been seeing Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend featured on WWE main roster television in recent weeks, but the company has not officially stated that they are on the main roster, but it looks that is the case. Lash Legend and Jackson were one of the teams featured in the Fatal 4-Way match at Crown Jewel for the Women's Tag Team titles. While discussing Crown Jewel on the Wrestling Observer podcast, Brian Alvarez says that he's heard that the entire Meta 4 group has been moved to the main roster. Now, that's Lash Legend, Jakara Jackson, Oro Mensah, and Noam Dar. No to Noam Dar. I don't think they're NXT women anymore, Alvarez said about Jackson and Legend. I think they're officially main roster, although they are still making appearances on NXT. I think all of Meta 4 is called up. It's not official, but I know people there who believe that all of Meta 4 have been called up, including Noam Dar, who hasn't even been on TV in 6 months. No word yet if the men are going to be joining Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson on the main roster. When I tell you that Meta 4 is not a main roster act, they are not a main roster act. They should stay on NXT. It is an absolute NXT gimmick and group. It does not belong anywhere near the main roster. Some of you people don't even know who I'm talking about. I don't even know who I'm talking about. They bragged about their performance. They lost. They were losers. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair retained the title. Trick Williams. He teams with Bubba Ray Dudley against Ethan Page and Ridge Holland. Now, the reason why this match is happening is because at Halloween Havoc, Ridge Holland created some havoc. He beat Andre Chase in an ambulance match, and then he confronts Bubba Ray on the Busted Open panel that they had at Halloween Havoc with Dave LaGreca. He did this twice. One earlier in the show, again after the match with Andre Chase, and then again in the main event where he showed up and stuck his nose in Trick Williams' business with Ethan Page. So Bubba Ray Dudley came out there. He fended off the heels and saved Trick Williams from a 2-on-1 beatdown. We go to NXT TV. And Bubba Ray, this is where his logic comes into play. He absolutely made a statement that I was like, wow, okay, we finally got some logical common sense here. He asked, why don't you think anyone came out to help you? Because the first thing would be, doesn't Trick Williams have friends in NXT? Doesn't Trick Williams have someone that's going to watch his back in NXT? He's getting beat down 2-on-1. Why is nobody coming out to save him? Does he not have any friends backstage? Bubba Ray Dudley said, nobody came out to help you because everybody wants what you have. Everybody wants to be in your position. Everybody wants the NXT championship. You are prime enemy, prime target number one to everybody in that locker room, no matter what they think of you, if they like you or don't like you. They want what you got. I'm like, wow, look at that. We got some common sense from one guy to another on why something happened. I was shocked. So then it led to both of them teaming up. Bubba Ray declined it. And again, I was surprised by what he said. Initially, on Tuesday, he declined it and said, I can't take this match because I would be taking a roster spot and a spot on this show away from somebody in that locker room that deserves it a lot more than I do. Wow. Bubba Ray's 2 for 2. Maybe we need to get Bubba Ray hired for some sort of creative role in one of these companies. We get some more logic like that, maybe we would tighten up some of these fucking storylines that don't make sense, Tony. But Tony's not a fan of Busted Open Radio anymore. He won't show his face there ever again. Now that Bubba Ray is on NXT, he certainly ain't showing up over there, man. Give me a fucking break. And did you guys watch the last interview with Dave LaGreca, man? I felt for LaGreca so badly, man. I wish I could pull him out of that fucking seat and say, bro, please just get the fuck out of there. Holy shit, man. What a fucking waste of 40 minutes if you guys watched the last interview on Busted Open with Dave LaGreca and Tony Khan. My God, man. Absolutely nothing of value was said in 40 minutes. So Tony's certainly not the biggest fan of Busted Open, and now certainly not the biggest fan of Mr. Ray. So this is why this match is happening. He eventually said yes in the last segment of the show on Tuesday night last week to set up this. So Holland shoved Bubba Ray early on. He wanted Bubba. So he gets a tag. He gets the tag from Trick Williams. He wants in. Bubba cleans house. Crowd was hot for Bubba, but not as hot as I expected them to be. Especially when he made his initial entry into the match, I thought it was going to be a bigger deal. So Bubba Ray got some offense in there. He fended off the heels before commercial break, and we go into the commercial break with him in control. We come back from the break. Bubba is crotched on the ring post. Rich Holland and Ethan Page start beating down on Bubba Ray, getting some heat. They worked him over. He sets up to deliver a spear, does Rich Holland. Hot tag to Trick. House on fire. All four are involved in the match, and we got all four guys going at it. So we got all four guys in there now, and Williams hits a couple of axe kicks. Bubba Ray Dudley got into it with a back body drop. High angle bookend got a two. That was broken up by Rich Holland. Ethan Page went for Ego's Edge. All four guys, like I said, are involved still. Babyface is controlled. Trick went for the pump kick. Holland simply rolled him up for a 1-2-3. And this was one of the most anticlimactic endings to a match that NXT probably has done all year on TV. What a shit way to end this match. Literally, out of nowhere, anticlimactic as fuck. Holland dodged Trick's knee strike finish, the big jumping knee, and he rolled him up. That was it. No rhyme or reason. No heat. Literally out of nowhere. So Page jumped Trick after the match. Holland then joins in to team up on Trick. Page and Holland are beating down Trick when Bubba makes the save. Bubba and Trick do the what's up off the top rope. He does the big headbutt to Trick onto Ethan's crotch. And then Bubba does the get the table spot, which brought a smile to my face because I think it's a great spot. He counted down 1, 2, 3, and everybody in that arena chanted get the tables. And it went over great with the live crowd. Trick goes underneath the ring to get a table, and there are no tables. Now, the heels made sure that there would be no tables. So when Trick went underneath the ring, there were no tables there. So they wondered what they do next. So Bubba Ray's like, what the fuck do you mean there's no tables? So all of a sudden, the Dudley Boys theme music again plays, and out comes Devon Dudley carrying a table. Now, Paige is in trouble here. We didn't get a 3D. We didn't get Devon and Bubba Ray doing the 3D. We didn't even get Trick Williams involved in doing the 3D. We got them setting the table up, and we get Ethan Page getting chokeslammed by Bubba Ray and Trick Williams through the table. Devon pulls out a pair of white Bubba sunglasses, pair of white Dudley sunglasses, and puts them on Trick, and they all pose in the middle of the ring. Man, this felt to me, listen, it was nostalgic to see the Dudleys in the ECW arena, get the tables, put over Trick. It was a fine moment. But man, did this feel flat? Did this feel just anticlimactic? And now we get Rich Holland pinning the NXT champion clean. What do you think comes next? Now you got to be witness to Rich Holland and Trick Williams for the NXT World Championship. Who's excited about Rich Holland challenging Trick Williams for the NXT Championship? What happened to the main event scene on NXT? The main event scene on NXT used to be the future breeding ground for the main roster. NXT is in such shambles right now on the men's side that we're looking at Rich Holland and Ethan Page in the main event spots on Tuesday night. Nobody finds that to be a problem. And then you wonder why I don't watch the show. Trick is great. But the fact that you have no opponents lined up for him at all, no credible opponents at that, who is going to be interested in watching NXT on a weekly basis when the man basically has zero competition? They need to address that immediately. They got to get some must-see acts to oppose Trick or whoever's going to be the champion next. Whether it's Obafemi, whether they move Tony D'Angelo up, I don't know what the fuck they do. But right now, the top of the men's spot on NXT is as worse as it's ever been. It is bad. And you can see why the women are basically carrying this show. This was fine for what it was. You got some nostalgic moments. Good for Bubba Ray. I'm sure it was great for him to be back in Philadelphia in the ECW arena, putting on the camouflage, wearing the glasses, doing all his great quotes and one-liners. But outside that, this didn't do anything at all to elicit any sort of excitement for Trick Williams' NXT world title run. Rich Holland wins. NXT North American champion Tony D'Angelo with the family against Little Guido. Nunzio. He's out there with Tony Mama Luke. This was a complete waste of time. This was a complete waste of everybody's time. Nunzio looked fucking ridiculous. Seriously. Nunzio looked like he should be fucking at Geno's serving me some fucking cheesesteaks. He looks ridiculous. He came out there, came out there all sagging. His tights were like two sizes too big. And then he's out there with Tony D'Angelo, and this wasn't even much of a match. I mean, what was this? Did anybody enjoy this? Like, I get Tony D'Angelo is the mob king of NXT. He's the Don of NXT. But did we need to go into the really stereotypical route? Hey, man, I know what would be good for the ECW arena, man. Let's get him involved with the fucking full-blooded Italians, man. Jesus Christ. Yeah, exactly. Adam Casper says, where's my pizza? This guy should be serving slices of pizza in Philadelphia. Hey, what do you want on the pizza pie? It's me, Mario. You want the pepperoni? The sausage? Looks fucking ridiculous out there, man. D'Angelo pinned Nunzio after a spine buster. He did a few of his signature spots. He got the crowbar. Referee took the crowbar away from Nunzio. D'Angelo finished him off. He did his finish. Covers Nunzio for a 1-2-3. Tony D and Nunzio embrace after the match, shaking hands. Hey, how you doing over here, Nunzio? Go get me a slice of fucking pizza, you fucking Guido. Ridiculous. I'm walking over here. I got some business to take care of with Tony D over here. Fucking ridiculous, man. What a waste of my time, man, really. Backstage, Sean Spears tells Brooks Jensen he's feeling Italian next week. What does that mean? Does he want a piece of the good old Tony D, huh? Fucking ridiculous. Then you wonder why I don't watch NXT. Oh, JD, you should totally watch NXT, man. It's so good. We got footage last week of William Regal shook hands and says farewell to Lexus King. Regal runs into Charlie Dempsey and the No Quarter crew. Regal remarks to Dempsey that King is not his father's son. Regal then asks Dempsey, are you your father's son? Dempsey said, time will tell. Now, the joke is, if you guys don't know or are not aware, Charlie Dempsey is legitimately William Regal's son. Good to see them on television together. Great to see William Regal on television. Just his voice and his cadence and his body language is such a missed sight on NXT. The glory days, the good old days. When I hear Regal, when I see Regal, it brings me back to a better day. Francine was shown at ringside. She did not much of anything. If you guys remember Francine from the old ECW, she was synonymous for being the woman of Shane Douglas. Main event. We got Jordynne Grace, Stephanie Vacher, Julia, Kalani Jordan, and Zarya. Five against NXT Women's North American Champion Fallon Henley, JC Jane, Jasmine Nix, Cora Jade, and the NXT Women's Champion Roxanne Perez. Big 10-woman, 10-man, 10-woman tag team match. I will say this about Jordynne Grace, who's obviously going to be WWE bound in just about 2 months or so. Stephanie Vacher, love her. She is so fucking good. More of her on my television, please. Julia, Zarya, and Kalani Jordan. Kalani Jordan's the odd woman out here, man. It's like, who doesn't belong here? It's Kalani Jordan that doesn't belong there. It's like, she's like the fifth wheel on this team. Zarya, let me talk about Zarya. She looks fucking phenomenal. She looks so good. Like, I look at her and I'm like, you want to talk about horsewomen on NXT? There's one of the horsewomen of the modern day NXT right there. Such an overused, you know, kind of narrative. Who's the next horsewomen? First of all, nobody's going to beat Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and Becky. Nobody. And Bayley. Nobody. I'm sorry. Nobody's going to be any one of those women at all. Give me a break. But if there's one woman to give you that vibe, it is definitely Zarya. She looks great. Love the presentation. Love her intensity. You could see that her and Rhea Ripley are basically cut from the same cloth. I mean, it is going to be absolutely no time at all before she makes it to the main roster. She is going to be such a fucking monster. It is ridiculous. So good. I can do without the fucking theme music. I think the theme music is kind of lame, but we live in the Def Rebel era. I mean, that goes without saying. Julia, I mean, the woman just exudes star. She's great. You could see her getting a little bit more comfortable since we saw her debut match. I think she is coming along nice and slow. She looks a little bit more comfortable in there. Stephanie Vacher, I mean, they basically took her from CMLL and put her on WWE television. She fits like a fucking glove, man. It's almost as if she was born for national television. Not one hiccup in anything she does. She's got an unbelievable look. She's easy on the eyes. She is fucking phenomenal in the ring. She wrestles with intensity. She gets in there and gets her hands dirty like a woman's wrestler should. Fucking great. And then you got Jordynne Grace. I mean, what can we say that we haven't said about Jordynne Grace? She's fucking great. Jordynne Grace does not need NXT. She does not need NXT whatsoever. If they're bringing in Jordynne Grace, then she's probably going to end up in WWE. So much for that partnership. Who did that work out for? WWE should be already calculating plans for Jordynne Grace on the main roster. So much so, probably not going to happen. I would say Jordynne Grace is a dark horse to win the Royal Rumble. We don't know what's happening with the Royal Rumble. I mean, the Royal Rumble took a turn for the unpredictable with Rhea Ripley being out. 3 to 4 months for an orbital bone broken. she could come back and wear a mask like others before her have done that have broken their orbital bone. But I don't know if WWE is going to want to do that. A lot of people have been saying, well, how do we prolong Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan to WrestleMania? I, for one, did not want to see it at WrestleMania. I think it's well past its expiration date. I would say after Survivor Series, if Saturday night's main event comes and they want to do it there, if it can happen there, we take the belt off Liv and get Rhea as the champion going on into Rumble at WrestleMania season. And then we get her some fresh meat at WrestleMania. Jordynne Grace, EO, Becky again, something. We don't know. But Jordynne Grace, I'm putting in that dark horse position to win the Royal Rumble. Now, with the injury, Rhea could certainly win the Royal Rumble. Charlotte is obviously an odds-on favorite to win the Royal Rumble. The Women's Royal Rumble is going to be probably the most star-studded Women's Royal Rumble in the history of the Royal Rumble for them. It's going to be really, really good. But Jordynne Grace, man, she doesn't need NXT. She is going to be such a fucking monster on the main roster. Look at what she did in this match for the little time that she was in there. The intensity, man. There's not many women on the main roster that have that sort of intensity that Jordynne Grace does. Or Zarya does. In the little time that we've seen, I've never seen Zarya work a day in her life before she got to NXT. Look at the impression that she's made already. Not really cool on the name, but the name will get used to it. Just like we got used to Gunther and all the other name changes that WWE have given these men and women. Zarya. It's already easy and rolls off the tongue. It's going to be something people remember too. Delta. Man, this is a star-studded fucking team if I have ever seen one, man. Kalani Jordan. I don't get what the big deal is with Kalani Jordan. She's got no real charisma. She's got that overly cringy, bubbly attitude that comes off unnatural and fake. I don't really see anything that's jumping off the screen as to who she is. Who is she? What makes her stand out next to these women? If anything, standing next to these women did Kalani Jordan absolutely no favor whatsoever. And you can see she's well behind the eight ball when standing next to all four of these other women that were on her team. Roxanne Perez is fucking great. Love her. Can't wait for her to see what she does on the main roster. I didn't think her heel run was going to work out. She's killed it. Cora Jade, the jury's still out on her. I wasn't a big fan of Cora Jade before she got hurt. I'm not a fan of Cora Jade now. I mean, whatever Cora Jade was doing, Roxanne is doing it and better. So it's like, who is Cora Jade now? It's basically they gave Cora Jade's gimmick to Roxanne Perez in the 9 months that Cora Jade was out rehabilitating. And this group of Fallon Henley, Jason Jane, and Jasmine Nix, Fatal Influence, this is basically nothing more than the last group that was led by Mandy Rose, Toxic Attraction. This is basically Toxic Attraction 2.0. And you're not going to be able to duplicate Mandy Rose. You're not. Mandy Rose played that role so fucking good, and this group is a fucking pale comparison to what Mandy Rose did with Toxic Attraction. That's all it is. This match was fun. I don't really understand doing a big 10-woman tag team match with basically 11 minutes left in the show. I can't stand that shit. This should have been given a lot more time for the amount of women that were in this match. Maybe they run it back again at Survivor Series. Maybe we get some NXT influence at Survivor Series. I don't know. But all 10 faced off in a big standoff that turned into a slugfest. Julia was in there. Vakar was in there. They worked double teams, some tandem moves. Zarya got a tag in. She looked good. Then we got the face off. Jordynne goes for a moonsault off the top rope out to the floor. We cut to a commercial break. She did the moonsault a little bit too much in air and then came back a little awkwardly and landed awkwardly onto everybody on the outside. We go to a commercial break. We come back from the break. There's heat on Kalani Jordynne. She's getting beaten down by the heels. She's being worked on in the opposite corner. Kalani Jordynne is trying to get the hot tag. She eventually does to Jordynne Grace. She's a house on fire. She gets a near fall on Cora Jade. All of a sudden, Lash Legends and Jakara Jackson come down to ringside. Cringy. Lash Legend's walking down the aisle doing that lash thing that she does. Please. Just stop. Just stop. Nobody cares. So she's out there. They are wiped out with Julia and Vakur doing some high-flying acrobatics off the top rope. Now everybody gets involved. We got big spots, some high spots here. Everybody's getting their shit in. Zarya accidentally spears Jordynne Grace, which was obviously an accident. It was not done on purpose. WWE did this same thing not too long ago. It's like, give me a break, man. It wasn't done purposely. It was done accidentally. You could see it was written all over her face. She didn't mean to do it. It was like the Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns situation at Crown Jewel. Like, Jimmy needed to blame Sami and started yelling at Sami, "What did you do? How did you do it?" Meanwhile, we all saw what he saw. It was a fucking accident. He was out there saving Jey Uso. He didn't intend to hit Roman Reigns. But they got to play it up because that's the lore that they're trying to create, right? Tension going into War Games. It was like that. It was like, oh my God, is Jordynne Grace going to be pissed now at Zarya? No, it was a fucking accident. She looked down at Jordynne Grace like there was going to be some problem there. So she spears Jordynne Grace accidentally. Finish came when Perez goes for Pop Rocks. Zarya blocked it. Zarya gives Perez an F5. Zarya pins Roxanne Perez clean. The NXT Women's Champion clean for the 1-2-3. Babyfaces celebrate. They raise their hands in victory. ECW theme plays as the show quickly goes off the air. This was fine for what it was, but you know, the NXT ECW gimmick, if WWE wanted to do an ECW throwback and pay homage or a tribute to ECW, they could have certainly did that. Having the show at the ECW arena is one thing. But if you're going to mix ECW legends into the show and you're going to make it a tribute of sorts to ECW, it could have been so much more fulfilling. What did we get out of this show tonight? Now, I watched this shit and I decided to cover this over AEW tonight, which, looking at the interest in the streams and everybody else who decided to cover NXT tonight and the interest in their streams, clearly nobody gave a shit about the ECW theme and the gimmick for ECW on this show. Like, if you wanted to pay homage to ECW emanating this show from the ECW arena, then you should have went into it 100%. ECW. But what did we get tonight? Just like everything else on NXT, we got another tribute show that was so sterile and so lame to the tribute that they were paying tribute to. If you wanted ECW, then give me ECW. If you're going to give me this ECW and this quality of ECW, then you should have just held the show at the fucking ECW arena and give me some subtle ECW vibes with the intro and the theme music, or maybe a Paul Heyman spoken word in the beginning, and just do your business like usual and give me your run-of-the-mill, every day, every Tuesday NXT garbage. Like, what did we get on this show that mattered to anybody? We got Deadline. The announcement for Deadline. Roxanne Perez is probably going to be defending her championship against all the women in that match that you saw. Kalani Jordan and Jordynne Grace and Zarya and Vakur and Julia. Looking back at the notes that I took tonight, what the fuck did we do tonight? I don't know, man. Maybe I'm old, maybe I'm bitter, maybe I'm just crabby, maybe I'm just fucking wrestled out, to be honest with you, but I expect something else, and we get something completely different, and then I'm just disappointed in the end. If you're going to go into something, fucking go into it and do it. If not, then save me the fucking bullshit and give me your watered-down, everyday Tuesday show. This built to nothing. What is there to be excited about on NXT? Why do I get constant messages every week? JD, you got to watch NXT. You got to move Tuesday Night Titans to Thursday. You got to review NXT. No, I don't. No, I will not. NXT has not given me a reason to watch. Stephanie Vaccaro and Julia and Roxanne, Zarya are not enough of a reason to watch. They're not. NXT is not a good show. It hasn't been a good show in years. It is so sterile and so fucking cringy that they gotta hide that cringe behind an ECW theme at the 2300 arena. Fine for WWE standards, but for the ECW enthusiasts out there, man, you're fucking laughing your ass off at this shit. No wonder you gave up on watching modern day pro wrestling. Thank you guys for all your support. We're going to get through your super chats in just a second. Follow me on social media, at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for all notifications. Make sure you guys go check out all the other content on the channel. There is plenty of content as we roll through the month of November. We got three pay-per-views or PLEs in the month of November. One of them already done. Crown Jewel in the books. We got Full Gear coming up in a couple of weeks. And we got Survivor Series a week after Full Gear. So we got a loaded November. And then we got Saturday night's main event on December 14th. Looking forward to it. Tomorrow, Jesse and I think, will be watching or reviewing, rather. I'm going to watch NXT or AEW, rather. I watch NXT tonight. I'm going to watch AEW tomorrow morning. Then I'm going to prep the stream and get you guys ready for the stream. So look forward to that. Hopefully we have a better turnout for that than we did tonight. Make sure you guys look out for that. It should be on your socials and in your subscription boxes tomorrow morning. Will I be with Jesse? I don't know. I got to see what he's up to. If he can do it, I'm sure he'll do it. If not, I'll be flying solo. So look out for that. Hit that thumbs up on your way out of here. 500 likes right now. We got a little bit more to go to get to the goal, man. 750 is the goal. So make sure you guys get those thumbs up in. Super chats, we'll read through them in a second. Continue to get them on in. It's a great way to support the show. And tonight's show is sponsored once again by Blue Chew, bluechew.com. Code JD at checkout. Make sure you guys go get your free sample courtesy of the podcast. All you got to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. Tony Brown with a $4.99. OMG NXT sweater meat party. NXT has the best meat in the entire industry, brother. He's talking about booty meat, by the way. He's not talking about any other meat. Get your mind out of the gutter, please. Tony Brown is king booty meat. Yes, absolutely. Tenari on 1-2-A with a $5 Superjet. JD, what are your favorite Survivor Series elimination matches? My favorite Survivor Series elimination matches? I don't know, man. The one thing that really comes to mind is the 1993 Survivor Series because it was Bobby Heenan's last Survivor Series before he left WWF in 1994. The opening match, I believe the team was the model Rick Martel, Adam Bomb, Diesel, and who else was on that team? Rick Martel, Diesel, Adam Bomb, and IRS against Razor Ramon, Marty Jannetty, the 1-2-3 Kid, and the Macho Man Randy Savage. The commentary for that match with Vince McMahon and Bobby Heenan was fucking phenomenal. The heat in that match was phenomenal. The energy was phenomenal. Even Bobby Heenan's call on the Brett versus Shawn Michaels Hart family versus Shawn Michaels and the Knights match was great. Match was terrible, but the commentary was great. And then the All-Americans in the main event versus the Foreign Fanatics. Oh, my God, man. One of my favorite Survivor Series moments of all time with The Undertaker and Yokozuna in that match. Fucking great. Man, when The Undertaker got that hot tag, man, and him and Yoko had that good 5 minute back and forth, man, the energy in the Boston Garden that year was fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, yes, go and watch any of those matches. Great stuff. Scripps with a 38 months. Hey, JD, 30 months and still going tonight. Felt like an NXT house show. Yeah. It did. Dalton Meister with a $10 super chat. I feel like when Jacob Henry arrives, he'll be a game changer. I'm assuming that's Mark Henry's son. I don't know, man. I don't know a fucking thing about him. Or what his progress is or what he's doing. I don't know. I hope so. I'm sure he's a part of that NIL program. If he's anything like his father, he'll be good. CEO with 5 months. Hey, JD. 5 months and counting. I'm so glad to be here with the best YouTube community around. Thank you, CEO. I appreciate it. Mama Scripps with 3 months. Hey, JD Scripps, and I love your passion and honesty. Never change, bro. No matter what the Twitter trolls say. Fuck the trolls, man. I don't give a shit. We just had the best month of October in the history of the podcast, man. Not going anywhere. Wolf Dragon Monster Den with a $2 super chat. A.E. Who? I was hoping for Raven, but Rhino is cool. Yeah, sure. I don't really have any desire to see more Rhino. I remember Rhino and Heath Slater winning the SmackDown Tag Team titles back in 2016. I thought that was fucking great. Remember that? Rhino's been all over the place, man. ECW, TNA, WWE. Johnny Boy Vaccaro with a $20 super chat. Julia Stephanie Zaria. Sky versus Perez. Jade Rodriguez live. Because Kyrie gets taken out like Rhea due to losing the world title. Sky and Zaria have beef with Liv Morgan for War Games. Overbite Ava push it to Papa H. I don't know what any of those women have to do with each other. What do the NXT women have to do with any of the main roster women? They haven't even crossed paths. I don't know why we would include those women on the main roster with the main roster women. Just do the NXT War Games match with the women that have a problem on NXT. Johnny Boy Vaccaro also with a $2 super chat. Tony D versus Enzo. Why didn't they do it tonight? I don't think Enzo would ever step foot in the WWE again. Or I should say, I don't think WWE would ever hire Enzo Amore back. Even though he is innocent from whatever bullshit he had to go through. He was just recently at a House of Glory show. He didn't look too bad. Still got it on the microphone. And man, what a disappointment that was, man. Did they drop the ball on Enzo and Cass? Holy shit. Literally the hottest tag team on the main roster when they got called up. Took the fucking tag team division by storm. And then what did Vince do? Broke them up. He made Enzo a cruiserweight and he made fucking... He made Cass into a singles guy. Clearly wasn't ready for that spot. Neither one was ready for that spot. They were stronger together, man. Huge missed opportunity there. And Adam Casper with a $5 super chat. I read that wrong. SmackDown will have shows in Europe for the next 3 weeks. Or for 3 weeks, rather, in March. Any thoughts about that? Yes, it's all building towards the Elimination Chamber, which is taking place in the United Kingdom. I was at first concerned about the road to WrestleMania being over a three-week stretch taped, but it's all leading to the Elimination Chamber. It has nothing to do with the WrestleMania build. I mean, it has to do with the WrestleMania build, but it's mostly going into the Elimination Chamber. And the WrestleMania build proper will be here in the United States, live, and they will not be taped. So I was wondering if they were going to do the road to WrestleMania taped in Europe, and we get all those WrestleMania spoilers on the road to WrestleMania. No, it's for the Elimination Chamber. And Justin Turner with a $5 Super Chat. Fun show tonight for the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge. I see Julia, Zarya, Stephanie being in it. Who should the other two women be? Thanks, JD. Well, it depends on if it's for the Women's Championship. I'm assuming it's a number one contender match, so Roxanne probably will not be in it. I don't know. But yes, I'm assuming Zarya, Julia, and Stephanie will absolutely be in the Iron Survivor Challenge. Yes. Thank you guys for a fun stream, man. We hung out for a couple of hours. If you enjoyed it, please hit that thumbs up. Let me know what you guys thought or think of the NXT show from the ECW Arena. I will be live. I will be live with the AEW Dynamite post right here on Off the Script. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll have some fun with that. Make sure you guys hit that thumbs up on your way out. Let's try for the goal of 750. If you guys want to hit that subscribe button on your way out as well, I would really appreciate it. So make sure you guys do that. Go check out all the other content on the channel. Plenty of it. And follow me on social media, guys. At JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. I will see you guys tomorrow for the AEW Dynamite post. Right here, live, tomorrow afternoon on Off the Script. I'll see you guys later.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Robinhood Gold provides the privileges of a high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. The new gold standard is here. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.